Paul writes this, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day." And I love this part. He says, "And not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing." Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we pray that during this time, our hearts, our minds would be reflected off the world and onto you and to the promise of your word, to the promise of your return. Help us, Lord, to continue in our growth in our faith, our growth in our understanding of the word of God. Keep us as the people that you died on the cross and rose again for us to be. Thank you for the forgiveness of our sins. And I pray today if one person is watching online or here today who's never confessed you as their Lord and their Savior, I pray today, Lord, that they would find you. And we love you and we praise you for all that you're going to do. In your name we pray. Amen.
Well, good morning, Grace Point Church. Good to be with you again today to worship the Lord. I don't know who writes those songs and the music, but I sure am glad God gifted them to do that. And then we have folks here who can lead us in singing those songs of worship. It blesses my heart. Sometimes I don't want it to stop. I don't even want to come up and preach, but I know it would disappoint everyone. So I come up anyhow. We're going to look at a single passage of Scripture this morning, Psalm 46. The verses are going to be up on the screen as I read through this psalm, and then we're going to take time to look at it together. So, Psalm 46, this is the New King James Version. All the verses, verses 1 through 11, the psalm writer said this, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge." Some time ago, the Ocean Drilling and Exploration Company built an offshore drilling platform in the North Sea. It was engineered to withstand 100 mile per hour winds and to withstand a 100-foot maverick wave. One morning when the tanker crested over the horizon to siphon off the oil from the platform, that platform had disappeared. To this day, no one knows what happened. In stark contrast to this, architect Frank Lloyd Wright built the Imperial Hotel in Tokyo. It was revolutionary, using five columns that were designed to withstand any seismic force that would hit that city. Now, I want you to look at this picture. We have it, Joe? I didn't send that one to you? If you could see this picture, you would see, after this earthquake, literally everything was leveled except that hotel. Because it had what it took to not shake down when everything around it shook up. I want to talk to you about that using Psalm 46. How not to get shook up when your world shakes down. There's a few things here we can learn from the psalm writer. First of all, if you don't want to get shook up when your world shakes down, you need to make God your refuge. Make God your refuge. In the first couple of verses, the psalm writer imagines the unimaginable. He says, "Therefore we will not fear, even though the earth be removed and the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling." The psalmist here is in the Holy Land, and he's standing on a firm foundation when all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the earth under his feet begins to crack open. Well, if you were a Hebrew in that kind of circumstance, you would head for the hills. And that's what he did. But when he gets there, he saw that the mountains were toppling over like drunken men coming out of a bar, just falling everywhere. And there was no place for him to stand there, and the only place he had left to go was to the Mediterranean Sea. But when he got there, the only thing he could see were the mountains floating by like styrofoam beach toys. And there was nowhere to stand. There may be some folks here today that, if truth be told, life is shaking you up. Welcome to Psalm 46. The psalmist said, "Everything I didn't think could shake, shook." So what's he going to do? He made God his refuge. Verse 1, God is our refuge and strength. Notice the first word of the psalm, God. The psalmist had a relationship with the living God, and because of that, fear is not the first word in this psalm. Rather, God is our refuge and strength. The word for God here is in the biblical language is the oldest Hebrew word for God. It's the word our forefathers used way back in the Garden of Eden. It's not Jehovah, it's not Yahweh, it's the name Elohim. As long as people have known the living God, they have known him as Elohim, a refuge. So when the earth cracks and the mountains stumble and the earth roars, we can say, Elohim is my refuge. That word refuge means a strong rock tower. Where do you turn when life shakes you up? Entertainment? Substances? Maybe you turn to other people. The psalmist didn't have to do any of those things because God was his refuge. Some folks think that God is way out there, far off, can't get in touch with him. But look at the second part of verse 1. The psalm writer says, a very present help in trouble. That word present literally means God lets himself be found. He lets himself be found. Have any of you ever played hide and seek? Anybody plays hide and seek? Most everybody has played in hide and seek. Libby and I like to play hide and seek with our grandkids when they come over. And I will tell you this, Libby is the master hide and seeker. On more than one occasion, in our own house, I couldn't find her. I'm not kidding. I couldn't find her. Me and one of our grands were looking finally and found her in the dryer. So now when we start hide and seek, and if she's hiding and I'm seeking, first thing I do is go turn the dryer on. I just figure that'll take care of that nonsense. Folks, God doesn't want to play hide and seek with us. Certainly not with Libby. God wants to be found. And when life is at the corner of Rock Avenue and Hard Place Boulevard, there God can be found. This is why the psalmist says next, therefore we will not fear. When God is the first word in the psalm, you can say next and most assuredly, we will not fear. What are you afraid of? In a Time magazine article some time ago, it listed more than 800 phobias and fears. Some we're familiar with. Claustrophobia, the fear of small spaces. Then there is agoraphobia, the fear of being exposed in open places. Arachnophobia, the fear of... Yeah, that's not a fear, that's real. There's one called homiliophobia, the fear of listening to sermons. Homily. I know you guys don't have that, right? What are you afraid of? Not long ago, we were all somewhat fearful of COVID. Some of you may have been and may be in fear right now that you might lose your job or that you might not have enough money to live on. Maybe you fear that you're going to be alone for the rest of your life. Sounds in the middle of the night, maybe you lost your spouse or a sibling, and all of a sudden those night noises you never noticed before bring fear to you. What were the first words the angel Gabriel said to the Jewish teenage virgin Mary when he showed up on a house call in Nazareth? He said, "Fear not." The very coming of Jesus was stamped with the words, "Fear not." Remember that occasion when the disciples were sent away after the feeding of the 5,000? They were pulling away at the oars of the boat in the middle of the storm in the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus was walking up to them on the water. And the disciples thought they saw a ghost. And they were scared. They were afraid. And Jesus said what? Fear not. It is I. After the resurrection in the upper room, the disciples had the doors locked in fear of the Jews retaliating against them. And there's Jesus, and the first words out of his mouth are what? Fear not. 60 years later, the book of Revelation, nobody had seen Jesus in 60, maybe even 70 years, but on the island of Patmos, the 100-year-old last surviving apostle of Jesus, his friend John, hears a voice, and he says, "Whoa, that sounds familiar." He turns around and it's the cosmic Christ. And the first words out of his mouth to John were what? Fear not. Some people have adopted the motto, when the going gets tough, I'm one of the tough ones who gets going. Listen, folks, everything you could ever rely on could disappear in an instant. And you are left with only God. And when that happens, God is a refuge for you. How do you not get shook up when your world shakes down? You make God your refuge. Number two, You also need to make God your resource. The scene changes between verses 3 and 4. In verse 3, the earth is cracking, the mountains are toppling, the mountains in the sea that are coming down in the sea, the sea is roaring. And what a change in verse 4. Look what he says. There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is your resource. What a contrast. Everything was shaking. It was like an apocalypse. And suddenly, you're down by the river that makes glad the city of God. Our first parents lived in the Garden of Eden, and there God placed four rivers for them, resources for that family. There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God. Think about a river. A river is quiet, but powerful. The Colorado River runs through the Grand Canyon, and it is powerful, but it is quiet. We misunderstand how God's power works. It's human power that makes a lot of noise. Detonate a bomb, loud power. Start up a Harley, loud power. The Blue Angels taking off in their F-18 Super Hornets, loud power. But God's power is often quiet. Think about it. God's power guided the sun to rise over the east, and the sunlight entered the land, and that sunlight made its way through the trees and shone through the sheer curtain in a baby's room and warmed an infant's face as she lay in the crib and didn't even wake that baby up. Power. Quiet power. At the very same time that sunlight was lifting millions and millions of tons of water out of the ocean, creating wind currents that caused it to blow over the land and empty itself in the form of rain, which watered plants and trees so they can produce the food that we need to be healthy. And that sunlight on that baby's cheek that did all of that never woke that baby up. That's God's quiet power. We have green grass. Some of us have green weeds. The grass has chlorophyll in it. The grass is green because the sunlight is hitting the chlorophyll, making that grass green. That's how God's power works. But I'll bet nobody woke up this morning and said, "Look at that green grass. God's quiet power at work." Just because God speaks in a still, small voice doesn't mean God isn't powerful. Let God be your refuge. Let God be your resource. Number 3, how not to get shook up when your world shakes down. Trust in God's timing. Trust in God's timing. My world is shaking down. When is God going to help? Look at verse 5. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. When does God get busy in our lives? God will help us at the fourth watch of the night. The break of dawn is at the fourth watch of the night, just after the turning into the morning. The ancient people divided the time into four different watches. 6 to 9 p.m. is the first watch. 9 to 12 midnight, second watch. Midnight to 3 a.m., third watch. The fourth watch is 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. Now, what's the hardest watch of the night? The fourth watch. Human metabolism is at its lowest. People are at its weakest. Your eyes closed, strained to close. Every fiber in you wants to go to sleep. When is God going to get into my situation? Many times, it's when you're in the fourth watch of the night. We say, I wish God would get involved before then. I hear you. You know why God often doesn't? Because if God came in the first watch of the night, we'd congratulate ourselves. way to go, me. If he came in the second or third watches, we'd say, hey, well, we didn't do it by ourselves. We have a great resource. We have a great system. I and somebody else took care of it. But the fourth watch of the night, when no one is around, we say, only God could have done that. Listen, it was in the fourth watch of the night that Grace Point Church was born. Two churches agreed to worship together a year in, and some folks were talking about merging. From a year in to 2 years in, total, still worshiping together, side by side. Some were getting a little antsy. What are we doing here? 2 years, 7 months, 3 days in, 945 days in total, God came at the fourth watch of the night and said, you will be a new church, Grace Point. And he did it in his timing. We didn't do this. God did this. Some wanted it earlier at the first watch. Others wanted it at the second or third watch. God said, no, do it in my timing. Because God did this in the fourth watch of the night, who gets the credit? God does. Who gets the glory? God does. And people around the island will be saying, look at those two churches, an independent Baptist church and a James Island High School cafeteria worshiping non-denominational church. They're getting together. What's going on there? Now they're Grace Point. Only God could do that in the fourth watch of the night. Amen? May we never forget that. If you make God your refuge and your resource, you trust in God's timing, then when your world shakes down, number four, you can relax. You can relax. Verses 10 and 11. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Up until now, the psalmist has been speaking. But in verse 10, God says, now let me have a word. And he says, be still. That word, be still, literally means to let your hands hang down. If you let your hands hang down, you can't be busy doing anything up here, at your desk, at home. You can't try to do more and more. You are just standing. Be still. Let your hands hang down. Being still is one of the hardest things to do in our culture. Richard Foster, a great Quaker, said, American Christianity is a mile wide and an inch deep because we will not get away from the noise and hurry and crowds. He was right. We need to get away from busyness and noise. We need to be still. We need to learn how to literally turn everything off and be still so God can remind us that He is God, not us. Sometimes we get so busy doing God's work, we forget that it's God doing the work through us. Notice that the psalm writer says that it is the God of Jacob that is our refuge. He says it in verse 7, and he says it in verse 11. He repeats himself. It's just part of the chorus of the song. The psalms were songs, basically, and he repeats the chorus here, and he repeats it again down here. That the God of Jacob is our refuge. The Lord of hosts. Now, we're surrounded by spiritual armies that we can't see. And I don't know a whole lot about the invisible spiritual armies. I believe they are there. I don't know how they work. I'm not always sure how to call on them versus praying to God. I'm not sure. I understand and I trust it by faith, but I know a little bit about Jacob. Jacob's name means tricky one. If you translated this literally from the Hebrew, it would say the God of the tricky one is with you now. Why not instead say the God of Abraham, the father of all who believed, is with you now? Or the God of Moses, the founder of monotheism, is with us now? Or the God of David, the predecessor of Jesus, is with us now? Instead, it says the God of Jacob, the tricky one. You remember some of the story of Jacob? He was the one who tried to fool his blind father by lying to him so he could get the blessing instead of his brother. He was stealing something in his father's when his father was on his deathbed. That was Jacob. Be still. God's got this. Many times we think we're doing God's work and the success of God's work depends upon us. But we confuse cause and effect. Reminds me of the barnyard tragedy. There was a rooster whose job it was on the farm to wake up when the sun rose every morning and crow. This would wake up the farmer and his wife, and the farm would come alive for the day. Every morning it worked this same way. The sun came up, the rooster crowed, the farmer awoke, and the day began every day. It worked well every morning. Until one day the rooster came to some foul logic. That rooster reversed cause and effect. Instead of believing that because the sun came up, he crowed, he believed that because he crowed, the sun came up. This had serious consequences. He became an insomniac rooster. How could he sleep when the threat of oversleeping meant the sun wouldn't come up and the world would collapse and the stress was too much for him to manage? They eventually carried that rooster off to the house for mentally disturbed roosters. Don't forget, God does the work. He is the one. He allows us to be a part. The kingdom of God in Christian work is like a mighty river. Have you ever seen the Mississippi River? Ever been on it or is it close to it? It is a marvelous, powerful, great river. Now that river was here before me and without me. And if I put my little craft on it, it will take me downstream a little ways. And when I disembark my craft, that river will be there after me and without me. You understand the kingdom of God is like that. It was here before you and without you. You don't make the river go, the river makes you go. And you put your little craft on the river and it'll take you down, and one day when you get off, the river will go on. Grace Point Church, God's kingdom is like that. So be still. Let your hands hang down. Know that God is God. That God is in control. That God is calling the shots. That God is doing the work through you, not you doing it. Know that God is God. Your world will shake down. You've been through that already. You're going to go through it again. What do you need to do so you don't get shook up when the world shakes you down? Make God your refuge. Make God your resource. Trust in God's timing. And relax. Let's pray together. God, I want to thank you for leaving us with this beautiful hymn written so many years ago that reminds us that even though life will shake us up and all around us, we can trust in you. God, may we learn from this psalm and apply it to our lives in a way that will make a difference in how we live out the rest of this day and all of our future tomorrows. May we allow you to be our refuge, our strength. May we learn, Lord, that you work in your timing and we need to trust that. Thank you that you allow us to participate in your work, but remind us it's all about you. So, Lord, now bless the time of our worship where we make decisions, where we allow your Holy Spirit to convict us, to encourage us, to teach us, to show us where we go from here, individually, as a church. So bless us now, Lord, through this time of response. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Let's pray together as you go. Just take that same excitement with you out throughout the week. Let's pray. Father, we know that so many ways that our world is shaking, and in just our lives too, we pray that we will build our foundation on the rock and not on the shifting sands that you taught us about. You taught us to be wary of that. We thank you for your firm foundation that we can build our life upon. Lord, go with us now. May we carry this excitement with us throughout the week. May people see a joy in us that they want to know about. Help us to share the word through your love and excitement that's in our hearts. We pray it all now in Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen.